Welcome to the Fighting for Joy podcast. I'm your host, Jody Blick. Before I introduce this re-release episode, I just want to remind you of my podcast sponsor, BetterHelp. As a Fighting for Joy listener, you can get 10% off of your first month. You guys, quality Christian counseling is one of the greatest ways to fight for joy, and I will never tire of encouraging you to seek help with counseling. Whatever you are going through, parenting issues, marriage problems, financial stress, relationship or work issues, or like us dealing with the loss of a loved one, remember that there is help available, professional help that can help you to fight for joy, even if your circumstances will never change. Visit my link at betterhelp.com/fightingforjoy to sign up and get your discount today. You will quickly be matched with a therapist and could have your first session by the end of the week, which is not very common when you are trying to find an in-person therapist. Again, that's betterhelp.com/fightingforjoy. Well, it's Easter weekend here, and per usual, I've been doing a lot of reflecting. I mean, if there's ever a time of year to remember or even realize for the first time the hope that can spring up from death, it's Easter weekend. When our son Jackson and his friends Tyler and Trey died, it was hard to imagine any sort of future that would include hope, much less joy. But friends, I am here to tell you that not only is it possible, but with Christ and in light of his resurrection on Easter morning, as believers, it's actually probable, not because of anything you can bring to the table, not because of your strength, not because you've figured out the secret to grieving well, and certainly not because of any ability to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just move on with life, staying busy and trying to deny the brokenness. But it's actually because of the brokenness, because of death, Christ's death, that we have hope. We have freedom. We have forgiveness. We have peace with God. We have a place to run when we face death or sickness or suffering. We can look to the cross and know that we are loved. And then we remember the empty tomb and know death has been defeated. Yes, it is still, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, our final enemy here on earth. But because of the empty tomb, because Christ rose again and ascended into heaven and is now seated at God's right hand, orchestrating everything for our ultimate good and his glory, we can be assured of the end of the story. And spoiler alert, death does not win. I recently heard someone say that grieving people are always living out a version of Lent, that what other people try to do during the Lenten season is what we have to live with all year long. And that really resonated with me. We understand how horrible death is and the sacrifice that God made in sending his son to die. In grief, you don't need reminders of death. You've had to learn to live in its shadow and with a somberness that those in grief don't have. And the brokenness of grief creates a desperate longing for death to be overcome. And so more often than not, grieving people are extra eager for the hope of Easter. We've been living in a Lent-like state all year long. And Easter is an exciting reminder of why we can still live in hope, continue to grieve with hope, and still experience the both and of joy somehow being mixed into it all as well. And so whatever you are facing today, let Christ's suffering and death and burial and resurrection and ascension bring you the peace, comfort, and help that your hurting heart needs. You can rest in the promise and hope of Easter. All this to say, the episode that I wanted to bring to you this weekend is our family's testimony of this hope. It's a glimpse into how we have continued to press forward in life, even though we've had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though there will always be a void in our family, in our home, and in our hearts. God does some of his best work in the empty places of our life, and although we will always be missing Jackson, we are never without hope. I originally recorded this episode 4 years ago, and so as you can imagine, a lot has happened since we had this conversation. Good, bad, and yes, a good amount of ugly. But as I re-listened and thought about re-releasing it this Easter weekend, I was encouraged that our family's testimony of hope still stands. Yes, we've had more to process with each of our kids as they've gotten older and more deeply feel the effects of growing up in a household dealing with grief and really having some of their most formative years impacted by parents who were in deep grief, and growing up and living in a community that was shaken and greatly impacted by the accident. But I continue to be so grateful for God's continued work in their hearts and lives, and I'm just so stinking proud of these beautiful humans. They are my favorite joy fighters, and I feel honored to share their thoughts and a little bit of their hearts with you again today. Justine, Turner, and Grace, keep going. Keep running to the Lord. He is better than everything else the world has to offer. So be still and know that He is God. Make Him your greatest treasure. Find your rest, your peace, your hope, and your joy in Him. He has sustained us all this far, and He will continue to do so. We can trust Him with our story. I wish I could have written a different one, one without such pain and trauma and long-term effects. But I don't know everything that God does, and I do know that our hard story doesn't mean that He doesn't love us. We look to the cross and we see His deep love for us. Our story is hard, but we have a big, good God that we can run to together. Man, I love you three, and I am just grateful for you and the ways that you have supported my work with this podcast, for letting me share so many parts of our story, for putting our family out there in so many ways, and for believing in me and helping me find some purpose in our pain. Thank you for being my guests 4 years ago, and I'm excited to bring you to my listeners again today.
Just imagine this, honey.
Stop, right?
No. Okay. Imagine the guitar.
Everybody quiet, and then I'll start. Okay, everybody quiet.
You haven't started yet?
No. Oh, we're restarting? No. Okay, everybody, I just need to be quiet for 10 seconds. Ready? Go. Okay. Here we go. You guys ready? Hi, kids. Okay.
You guys,
whenever my guests come on.
Welcome to the Fighting for Joy podcast. I'm your host, Jody Blick. Well, I am doing something a little different on the podcast today. Instead of having a conversation with a guest on the phone or here at home in our office studio, I'm sitting with my kids on a Friday night in our living room to talk about our family, about grief, and about fighting for joy together. We have been spending a lot of time together these last couple of weeks because of the coronavirus pandemic. We've got Eric working out of the house instead of driving into his Omaha office. Justine is home for a couple of weeks before returning to the Chattanooga area to finish up her college semester there online. And Turner and Grace, while they're currently on spring break, they're uncertain as to when or even if they will return to school as their high school closed indefinitely to mitigate the spread of this virus. So we've been brainstorming things to do with all of this time together at home, and the kids suggested recording a group podcast. I couldn't believe that they suggested it. So as you can imagine, I was thrilled that they wanted to do this. So after dinner last night, I jumped on the opportunity and we gathered by the fireplace to chat about the ways that God has helped us to fight for joy as a family. It was pretty spontaneous. They didn't want me to prepare them with questions or topics. They just wanted to wing it and share from their hearts, and they clearly and bravely did just that. As we recorded, I could see the courage and strength that they were each mustering to open up. It's not easy for any of us, much less teenagers and young adults, to process and talk about grief, to share about the hardest and most painful parts of their life. But all three of them know that this podcast is helping and encouraging so many people. I try to constantly share the feedback that I get from you guys with them, showing them the ways that so many of you are finding hope and joy by listening. And sometimes you guys share feedback with them firsthand as well, so they believe in this ministry. Now, all this being said, I have two important side notes that I thought it would be important to mention. Number one, despite our closeness and all of the special things that the kids shared during this conversation, it might be good for you to know that the very next day we had a big blow up in our home with one of our kids, and it took a while to work it out. So, yes, we are close. Yes, we fight for joy as a family. And We still have normal struggles and disagreements. We still hurt each other's feelings. We still have to ask for forgiveness. We let each other down, but we keep fighting for joy and we don't give up on one another. It's messy and beautiful all at the same time. Number two, when hearing someone's story, or in this case, a family's story, we have to fight the temptation to compare ourselves with what we're hearing. When you listen to this conversation, remember that our family is almost 7 years into grief. So if you are smack dab in the middle of something hard, or you're just beginning your grief journey, you won't be where we are right now, and that's okay. There's no way that we could have recorded an episode like this 2 or 3 or even 4 or 5 years into grief. And on the flip side, if we listen to this podcast 10 years from now, I'm sure we'll be even further along in our journey and we'll look back at this sweet conversation with empathy and kindness, realizing that we still had so much further healing to experience. So this podcast merely documents where our family is right now and what our grief and healing looks like right now. But we know it will change. God willing, we will continue to grow and move forward. But for today, we are embracing where we are. And I want to encourage you to do the same for wherever you are in your struggles. The key is to just keep fighting for joy. Okay, so here is our Friday night family chat by the fire. I'm so proud of our kids for wanting to be a part of this. I absolutely adore these three. I love them like crazy, and I like them a whole lot too. I'm grateful for the testimony that they give to God's sufficient and healing grace in grief. Well, this is an episode that I am really excited to do. Thanks for doing this with me today, you guys.
Of course, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy to do this.
Thank you. Well, we are in the midst of really interesting times right now with the coronavirus. Everyone being encouraged to stay home. Things are shut down and canceled, and life is just different right now. And so we are having a lot of time at home here together. So we thought it would be fun to record a podcast together, right?
You really got the podcast voice in full
swing. I do have a podcast voice, yes.
Oh, you are right. Okay. Yeah.
And I should mention that this was you guys' idea, right?
Yeah. Actually, it was mine, but
Grace. Okay, yeah.
Everything is Grace's idea.
Yeah.
Unless it was a bad idea.
I'm glad you guys wanted to do this. Yeah. I think it'll be really special. Let's start by having you guys introduce yourselves. Justine, you want to start?
Sure. So I'm Justine. I am currently a junior at Covenant College, and it was my third year living on campus. And I am an English major with a writing concentration, and I have a linguistics minor. And I'm on the tennis team. It was my second year playing tennis, and next year I will be CAB director, which stands for Campus Activities Board, and I'll be planning all the events, all the dances, and so this past week being home, I've had interviews to figure out what team I have next year, so that'll be a fun thing to have next year, but yeah, I guess that's a little bit about me.
That's great. Turner.
Yeah, I'm Turner. I'm a senior in high school at Fremont, the public school. Haven't been too busy right now with all the coronavirus shutting everything down, but right before all that, I used to be doing track and the musical. We were going to put on Mary Poppins. I was fortunate enough to get casted as Bert, the male lead on that, so that was a lot of fun. It was the first time that Fremont has ever brought a flying cable system mm-hmm. to a musical.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun experiencing that. And my character actually walked on the ceiling upside down for a part of the song. So that was just a lot of fun getting ready for track. I really enjoy track and all my friends that do it. And otherwise, other than that, I'm just kind of lying low right now and getting ready for college right now.
Yes. And you are a part of a polka band, too. You might want to mention that. That's a big part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing that for, like, 5 or 6 years, probably almost 6 years now. And it sounds like really exciting summer/fall that we're coming up on. Got plans for Texas and Oklahoma and things like that all cooking up right now. So we're excited.
Great. Grace.
Hi, I am a sophomore in high school. And I'm on the swim team and the tennis team. And I'm the boys' tennis manager.
Great.
And I'm in choir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 21. Justine is 21. Turner's 18. Grace is 16. So I just wanted to start, too, by just thanking you guys for being so supportive of me with this podcast journey. You really have been just some of my biggest cheerleaders. So this is my chance to just publicly thank you and tell you guys that it's meant a lot to me. I love when you tell people about the podcast or you tell me feedback that someone has shared with you guys about the podcast. So let's start by just having you share if you have any thoughts on the podcast in general or anything you want to share just about how Fighting for Joy and this new ministry has impacted our lives or what you've seen in my life as your mom. I'm just grateful for the supportive role that you guys have had in this. So what are a couple of thoughts surrounding the podcast?
Yeah, I love your podcast. I remember your very first one. And I remember waking up early that day and going down to the gym and listening to it during one of a run on a treadmill and just thinking, oh, my mom is so cool. She has this podcast.
So
and yeah, I just loved that it was this outlet where my friends could get to know our family in a different way with you telling our story and having all of these people who are important parts of my life speak with you and share ways that they are fighting for joy in their walks. So I have been personally encouraged, but it's been really sweet to see how my peers and different people in my life have also been impacted by your podcast. Mm,
thanks, Justine.
Yeah, and I've tuned into a couple. I can't say I've listened to as many as my sisters have. but it's okay. Just really been fun watching you go through it all and seeing how it's helped you. And while you've been helping everyone else and everything, it's just been so incredible to see how you've come far and how you used to be with the first episode. And now you're like a professional now and you're famous and globally. And it's just been a lot of fun to see that from the outside. And
thank you, Turner. Yeah, I have. I feel like I have changed and grown in it, too. So that's special that you guys would recognize that, too.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I've had actually a lot of people my age come up to me and say, oh, I've been listening to your mom's podcast. And I just think that's really cool that people my age, too, are listening to your podcast.
Mm-hmm. I think that's special, too. I had no idea just the range of ages and just the different demographics of people that would listen to the podcast. And it is special to have some of your friends engage in it and be encouraged by it too. So it'll be fun for them to listen to this one with you guys. Well, unless they are real life friends, people who listen to this podcast have really only gotten glimpses into our family through me and a little bit through Dad when he's been a guest on the podcast as well. So I thought it would be kind of fun to help our listeners get to know us a little bit more. What do you want them to know about our family, our home, our life together? Let's just share a few things that our family enjoys doing together.
Well, we love working out together.
Yeah.
Just this afternoon, we all went to the basement and did a little arm workout together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We love going on runs, playing tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Watching movies.
Playing games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, yeah, we like games, like card games or board games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. We just love spending time together.
Yeah.
We laugh a lot.
We do laugh a lot.
Like inside jokes with the family and stuff that only we'd get. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes Justine will come back and like being in Georgia so long and, I haven't heard anybody say anything like that until now. And, like, if I would have said that there, nobody would understand.
Or, like, when Scott Frost became the coach and we went to Wendy's. And then they were all got a Scott Frosty. And I was like, what's a Scott Frosty?
Yeah, who's Scott Frosty?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's Scott
Frosty? Yeah, no, we have learned to just not take ourselves seriously. We laugh at ourselves a lot. We like to make each other laugh. You're right. One of us is usually dancing around trying to make a joke, trying to get the rest of the family
like
to laugh.
I feel like it's a snowball. Once one of us gets pretty excited, then we all get pretty excited.
Yeah, I agree. I think you know, you guys mentioned cards and games. I also love spending time out on the deck. I feel like that's something we like to do a lot together.
Oh, yeah. You do like that.
Got a fire pit and the fun lights and blankets and music and neighbors stop by and visit. Grace, what do we usually do on Sunday nights together?
We usually watch movies and eat pizza.
Yeah.
Okay, but back in the day, though, it used to be AFV.
Yeah,
that's true. AFV with every Tom Sunday night. Six
or our own family videos, too.
Yes. So we have always carved out Sundays as a family day. And, you know, it's usually a movie and pizza and popcorn. And we rarely miss a Sunday night. That's been a really special weekly tradition. I think music, we do a lot with music, either playing music together. We always have music going on in the house, in the car. We have a wide variety of interests of music. What kind of music do you guys like?
Everything.
Everything, honestly.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, to pat myself on the back a little bit, and Dad too, I mean, I feel like we've exposed you guys to a lot of different kinds of music throughout your whole life. I mean, on any given day, it could be Chris Tomlin, Broadway show tunes,
rap,
acoustic jazz.
House.
Yeah. I mean, we have all kinds of music. The one band that we usually agree on as a family, though, if we're in the car, is
Zac Brown Band.
Zac Brown Band, yeah. We all enjoy him, and that's a fun one. Well, those are some of the things that we enjoy doing together.
Oh, you forgot about our mornings.
Oh, what?
We love having coffee and reading in the morning.
Except for me.
And occasionally me.
But you're so good at doing it during the school year.
I like routine, and once I get in a good routine,
sitting by the fire.
Yes,
we also like doing stuff together outside.
We're
pretty spontaneous, and we'll do spike ball. Yeah, or we'll go to the lake.
We had a big kickball phase.
We did have a pretty big kickball phase. But we'll go out to the lake, and we'll all go boating just out of nowhere.
Yeah, we are a very active family. You're right. Runs, walks, we like to travel, and you're right, the summer. We definitely enjoy being outside with the boat and wakeboarding, fishing. We like to do that together.
Yeah.
So thankfully, there are a lot of things that we enjoy doing together outside and inside of the home. You're right, Justine. We like to gather around the fireplace. We like to drink coffee. We like to
sleep in my case.
So that kind of gives you a picture of what life in our home looks like, the ways that we spend time together. But let's go a little bit deeper. From you guys' perspective, what would you say some of our family's core values are? So as you think back and reflect on your years in our home and in our family, what do we value? What have Dad and I tried to instill in you as the important things that we want to value and prioritize in our home?
I think you've valued time with the Lord, and you've always encouraged us to have time with the Lord on our own and also together.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like? When you guys were little, what did we do together? Picture Bible.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Every night before bed, we would all lay on your bed, and we would take turns reading the speech bubbles in the picture Bible.
Yeah, we gave you each your own picture Bible, and we would just go around and read that. We've also done like incentive plans. If you memorized a certain number of verses, you'd get a new Lego or a new toy.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some of that. As you guys have gotten older, we've memorized scripture together, given you devotional books, different things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so God's word is definitely a core value for us and something that we've tried to prioritize. Dad has been very faithful to have devotional time with you guys your entire lives. And even when you don't always make it easy on him or you are busy or not terribly interested in what he's talking about in that particular moment, he has pressed on. And that's been something that I think you guys will really look back on. I know you appreciate it now already, but it's really been a blessing for our family to have a dad who leads well in our faith. What else? What are some other things that we value here in the Blick home?
We value rest.
We do.
We do.
Especially on Sunday afternoon.
We do.
We love taking time to be alone in our rooms and read or sleep, take a nap.
Yeah.
We all, I think, recharge when we just have some downtime.
Yeah.
And you had us practice that at a very, very young age when we didn't really
want
to.
Some of it was for my own sanity. I mean, when you guys grew out of naps, I would still have you go to your room and have quiet rest time.
Yep.
Or quiet reading time. And some of it was for me, you know, to just recharge as your mom for little kiddos was a busy season. But some of it was to really just teach and train you the rhythm of a week and how you can find rest in any given day, in any given week, how you can kind of quiet the world and be a little quieter and find some rest. So yeah, that's one I hadn't thought about. That's good. Yeah. We do value rest. And it, I mean, that you guys did buck that at times. I mean, that meant, you know, so Sunday was kind of our set apart day to be home and to rest and to recharge and to gear up for the coming week. And that meant there were times we didn't let you guys go do something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you weren't able to be on a particular team because they had practices or whatever on Sundays. We definitely tried not to be legalistic about it, but for our family, it really did work the best to just have one day that we kind of set apart. So thank you guys for rolling with that, even on the different times when it was harder. What else?
I think we also really value guarding our hearts and eyes and minds.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been good at being careful with what we put in our minds, whether it's what we're reading or what we're watching or spending our time doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been helpful going to college, having that value already placed into my heart, so that I'm already aware of what's going into my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was appreciative of that growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. Dad's helped us a lot with that too. I think hospitality is something you guys have seen a lot of people in and out of our home. We enjoy having people over.
Yeah, and even last night we were having the fire outside, and you were just talking about how we always tell our neighbors that if you see the fire on, you can come over, and they actually did.
Yeah,
so.
Our next door neighbors popped over for a little bit, and I think that leads into another thing that I think we really value, which is community and living in community. Mm-hmm. We've always been plugged into a church. We've always wanted to really get to know our neighbors. We've tried to help you guys learn to love this place. I mean, there's nothing terribly special about Fremont, Nebraska, right? But we've tried to help you find things that you can appreciate about it, serve your community, know your neighbors, love your neighbors, and get involved in such a way that you really love your town. And finding the things that you like about it instead of the things that you may not.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of, Turner?
Yeah. I think the other thing would be a sense of like knowing what hard work is, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, not necessarily like hard work, but just knowing what it is to obviously rest, but then also work and what that looks like as a family, or what that looks like individually. Like, I worked in the cornfields 2 years, and that was really helpful to just get that perspective and that experience, and I look back on that really fondly. And I know we have other examples of going out to the lake to help Grandpa and Grandma and just to serve like that. Mm-hmm. And so our family has really, like, our parents have really shown us what like being a servant is like, and working and like rest, but also working as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You also, from a young age, taught us forgiveness was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Even if looking back on it, the way we did it was kind of funny.
Yes, so how did we do that? You couldn't just say, I'm sorry.
We had to say.
You'd say, Turner, will you forgive me?
Yes.
And then we would say, forgive you for what? And then you'd have to be specific about what happened.
That's right.
And you couldn't say yes. You would have to say, yes, I forgive you for...
That's right. Yes, we definitely wanted to teach you from a very young age how to ask for forgiveness, how not to just say you're sorry, quickly try to move on, but really to ask for forgiveness. And then also on the flip side, to be quick to forgive each other and to move forward in that. So yeah, that's a good one too. And you mentioned Grandpa and Grandma. I mean, I think that's another value that we've had is spending time with your grandparents, with your cousins, with your aunts and uncles, and just really prioritizing extended family, really getting to know them, spending time with them, letting them build into you. That's been a big part of you guys' lives as well.
Yeah, I would definitely say growing up, like my cousin Caden, who's my age, was definitely my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And while we live in different towns now and he's really busy with all the sports and I'm doing sports as well and other things, like we live both really busy lives, so it's kind of harder. We're still really, really good friends, and I've really valued like that friendship and him as a cousin and that value that we've always had as a family of like we're a family but we're also an extended family. Mm-hmm. And we can always be friends with each other and just having those bonds and really emphasizing that has really been important my whole mm-hmm. life.
Yeah, I always used to tell you guys that your cousins are your lifelong best friends. Mm-hmm. And we made sure that you had a lot of time with your cousins when you were little and just set the foundation for these good friendships within family. That's been really special to see. Mm-hmm. Well, my podcast listeners already know our story of losing Jackson, so we're not going to revisit the details of what our family's gone through these past 6.5 years. But what I do think would be helpful for my listeners would be having each of you share maybe one or two things that you have learned about grief. One thing I definitely wanted to talk about was just how each of you uniquely grieve. I mean, there are five of us here in the home, and we've definitely stuck together in grief and have sensed grieving together, but we don't grieve the same. I mean, each of us have had a very different grief journey. So we don't have to get specific and share about the different ways that we've grieved and processed our loss. But I do want to talk a little bit about just what you guys have learned in grief.
Yeah, I've learned that you can't grieve alone. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, the first few years, I really tried to do that and tried to just internalize my grief and keep it to myself and mm-hmm. just try to get through it, and that really doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so these past few years, implementing counseling into my life mm-hmm. and doing that weekly and finding out ways to bring counseling to school via FaceTime and phone call.
Mm-hmm. That's been really helpful.
Has been huge in my grief to just have that come to the surface every week. Mm-hmm. As not just an accountability, but just to foster that grief because it will be there for the rest of my life. And to be able to share with a counselor who's becoming somebody who I love dearly and can't go a week without talking to. And with that too, like, I don't think that it's a, like the fix or the one and done. I think that you need other people as well. And so having a few friends who I trust to talk about grief with and death with and sorrow and hope and joy and just get over a cup of coffee and just mm-hmm. say, this was a horrible week mm-hmm. and just be able to trust them with my thoughts and feelings and pray together. I think that those are two things.
It's really good, Justine.
You can't isolate yourself in grief. So who can you trust? And, being okay with your tears in a community and with those couple people is a big part.
It's really good.
I think, something that I've learned is that you can't just ignore your pain. I think it's mm-hmm. always gonna come back and it's never gonna go away. You can't just have the mindset that, oh, if I don't think about it, then it'll just go away. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to come back, and you have to acknowledge it so you can help get mm-hmm. better at it. So
that's right.
I also think you've helped us learn, and we've learned on our own, that crying is okay and being raw is okay. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. just showing your emotions is not a bad thing because it's what makes us human, and God gave us emotions for a reason.
That's really good. Thanks, Grace.
Yeah, and kind of going off what Justine said, I also tend to kind of internalize grief as well and kind of act like, oh, yeah, like it's okay and I'm okay. But I think a lot of the learning for me over these last few years was being kind of more humble about it, more open about it. I'd say I still definitely cope more alone. But it's really been helpful to just have a family here, and that's been such a gift from God to have a family to walk grief, walk through grief.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I just think that it's okay to let people know that, like, hey, I'm not doing great, but however you cope with it is good, too.
And I think that is totally normal to have times when you do want to just kind of be more to yourself. One of the things that our counselor has helped Dad and I to learn too is just continue to leave the door open. And that's what we try to do with all of you guys too, is just continue to start the conversation, continue to remind you that we're here to talk when you want to, not pressure you to talk, not force you to share, you know, your deepest feelings and thoughts, but to just continue to remind you, like Turner said, that you do have us. We are here. We are safe. We love you more than anybody else in the world. And anytime you do want to talk, anytime you do want to share and process, we are here for you. And so it's ebbed and flowed. There's been times we've had lots of really, really good conversations about grief. And then there's been other times where we've seen you struggle and you weren't ready to talk. You didn't want to share. You were really struggling. And that is a very normal part of this whole grief process. It will ebb and flow like that.
Yeah, and you've done such a good job of allowing us all to grieve our different ways too, and to just highlight our unique gifts. I think that sometimes it's easy to kind of go into a box in grief and say that this is the way you should grieve, and these are the steps you should take, these are the things you should say, this is the face you need to put on when you go outside. But you've been really, really helpful in just letting us grieve the grief that we each uniquely have. And I mean, we all process so differently, but keeping that door open. And I mean, it took me until I really got to college to fully grieve and say, hey, I need some counseling. And, and I think for a while, a good thing I did was journal. I mean, I have boxes up in my room under my bed of journals that I wrote in every night before bed and every morning when I got up, and I still do that. And yeah, so I think that you've just really allowed us to each grieve our own grief.
Yeah, and I think that is helpful for people listening to know that when something hard is happening in your home and in your family, don't be surprised if everybody handles it differently and processes it differently and extending a lot of grace and patience to one another.
Because grief is not pretty, and people are scared of grief and scared of grieving people. And so it makes it hard.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to grieve, but they might be confused on how to, or they think that this is how I'm supposed to grieve because this is how my friend grieved, or this is how like my brother or whatever. So part of that could also be people have to figure out, like, you have to figure out how you grieve and, like, what's best for you, and so...
Yes, 100%, 100%, yeah. Well, we definitely want to give God a lot of praise and gratitude for accomplishing, you know, all that he has in our family and for sustaining us all through all of this. It, like you said, Justine, it's not pretty. It has been a messy 6.5 years, but I, you know, along with giving God thanks, I really just want to give you guys a lot of credit for the maturity you've shown these last 6 years. I mean, I'm just, Dad and I both are really impressed by each of you. And you guys have been tools in helping me in my own fight for joy through grief too. And I see fruit from your faith, and even through tears and really sad days, God has been sanctifying us all and really drawing us closer to himself and to each other. And I'm really thankful for that, because going through something like grief doesn't guarantee that a family will get closer. In fact, sometimes it actually tears marriages and families apart. And we definitely want to attribute our closeness as a family to God's grace and the work that he's doing in each of our hearts. But it might be helpful if we just talk about a few practical things that you think have helped to create closeness in our home, both before and after Jackson died, but especially after. How do we stay close? You guys mentioned forgiveness. I think that's a big one in regards to just extending grace, forgiving one another, being patient with another, one another. What else do you think that we do that helps us stay close?
We've stayed close just by cherishing the time that we do have together and just keeping us grateful for how close we are and how much time we do get to spend together.
I think you're right, Grace. We do, you know, we try to be careful with our schedules so that when we do have time together, we're all here. Dinner time has been a priority, making sure that we always gather around the table together, even if it's 8 p.m. and we're waiting for Dad to get home from work or one of you guys to get done with a sporting thing. I mean, we do really value time together and make that a priority.
Mm-hmm. I also think we've gotten close just by respecting each other's boundaries and not pushing it if they're having a rough day and just want to be left alone. And just mm-hmm. kind of knowing what they like and don't like when they're going through something hard and when they're going through something mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, not taking things personally. Yeah. I think I've had to learn that as your mom, that there are times you're just not going to want to talk to me about something or just need a little time away, and that I don't need to take that personally. That's just, you need time away to recharge or to really think, or you're not quite even ready. You don't maybe even have the words to tell me what you're thinking and processing yet.
Yeah, and I mean, when we were a family of six, we were close. Mm-hmm. And so it yeah. wasn't like we weren't close before all of this happened.
For sure.
And mm-hmm. so I think when Jackson died, then it just made sense for us to
yeah.
get extremely close.
Yeah.
And I remember that first, I don't even know how long it lasted, maybe 2 months, that we all slept in your room. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
that first night, that second night, we all moved our mattresses into yeah. your room, and we just slept there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have traditions mm-hmm. that we do that keep us close, yeah. like Christmas time and Thanksgiving, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, we've always been a close family, so it's just yeah. made sense that we've grown closer. Yeah. And I mean, everybody, like, when people ask me who has been there through everything, it's like, well, my family. And they're mm-hmm. like, your family? Like, what?
Yeah, it isn't like, a given for everybody. Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, too, communication. I mean, I think we've had to, you know, like you said, we were always close and had a lot of good family meetings and a lot of good communication before grief hit our home. But I just remember early in grief, too, giving you guys permission to say, this isn't helpful. Mm-hmm. And especially with Justine, remember, we did... Okay, drop a mic. Oh, boy. Get some coughs out. Okay.
Good job, Chris.
Yeah, I remember, you know, especially Justine, when you were in high school, we kind of developed a plan when you were allowed to say, this is not helpful, when yeah. I wasn't being helpful. And that sounds really obvious and simple, but I don't think a lot of parents think to give their kids this kind of language and then the permission to use it. And it's hard because I'm trying to help. But just to give you the freedom to say, this really isn't helpful. Stuff like that was good. And just learning how to communicate better, you know, because we can be trying to help one another when, in fact, we're frustrating one another.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really helping.
Yeah, and we've also gotten closer by doing things that the other person loves. So if
yeah.
I got really close to Turner this summer when I sat and watched every single episode of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace and I, when we work out or when we go shopping together, play music, mm-hmm. go get coffee,
yeah,
and go on mm-hmm. runs with Dad. I mean, we all have unique interests. And so to walk alongside that person and not just say, like, well, you like Star Wars? That's weird. I'm not going to join you on that. But to be like, oh, you love Star Wars? Okay, I want to love Star Wars yes. because you love Star yes. Wars.
I love you, so I want to do things that you enjoy so that we can spend time together.
Yeah.
And like, a common theme in our family is we really like to make people laugh.
Mm.
And so, like, yeah. if we're truly so close to each other, we're spending a lot of time together. So that instinct of, oh, like, can I make people laugh, like, happens a lot with our family.
Yeah, it does.
So, like, it's really easy to get close if we're always just laughing all the time
mm-hmm.
through grief and through whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's just what we do. Like, even this whole time while you and Justine have been talking, like, Grace and I have been doing inside jokes or whatever and laughing at each other.
Right. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's just what we do, like, without even trying.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Keeping our sense of humor has been key. And you guys do make it easy. I mean, you three are seriously some of the funniest people I know. And Jackson was really funny, too. But
you
each do have your own unique sense of humor. And there is a lot of silliness and goofing around in our house. And your dad's pretty funny, too.
Yeah, we all do have, like, pretty different, like, senses of humor, too.
Yeah.
Which is really funny to see the mix, too.
And we yeah. know when the one person needs all the attention.
Oh, yeah. Grace. Oh, yeah.
Don't at me, but, yeah.
We always go, oh, no, Grace needs attention.
Uh-oh, here look goes at Grace. It. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad needs some attention. Oh, we haven't talked to him in a while.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I think another way too that's helped is prayer. You know, praying with one another and for one another. I mean, it really means a lot to me as a mom when one of you tells me something specific that you want me to pray for. So I think one way that I have stayed close to you guys is just knowing what's heavy on your heart, how I can pray for you, and where you need prayer. Praying mm-hmm. together too. I mean, we've done a lot of, especially early in grief. So I would love to have each of you kind of throw out a few other tools that you implement in your own personal fight for joy. So let's say it's a normal Friday like today, and you've had a super discouraging day. You're just down in the dumps. You have a couple hard things going on in your life. What do you do to help your fight for joy?
What I do is, well, people in general usually either really get me going or they really tear me down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, what I like to do is I just like to be alone and I just like to listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to process through everything by myself and not be surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely how I am as well. I really don't like it if I'm down or something just big happened that's just really sad or whatever, and then a ton of people are like, oh my goodness, like, what can I do to help, or like, or how are you feeling, like, talk me through it, like, that doesn't really resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I kind of do what Grace does, like, I kind of just go off on my own, or like, well, thank you so much, like, thanks for wanting to help, but I'm just gonna try to process this on my own and like think about it, and maybe listen to music, watch YouTube, play Clash of Clans, something.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm the oddball because I'm an external processor and I have tons of words. And mm-hmm. when things go wrong, the first thing I want to do is talk about it, talk it out, get all my words out, get all my thoughts out. And to do that, I need somebody to do that with. So
you don't want to be alone.
No, I do not like being alone. So I call a friend or mm-hmm. call you or dad or mm-hmm. whoever and just say, hey, this was a really, really hard day. Can I just tell you about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's probably why I benefit so much from counseling too, is, I mean, there's just somebody there to listen to me.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm, I guess, the oddball of the family.
No, like,
yeah. And that's why I hate counseling.
I do a little bit of both of your guys's
yeah, you're a good mix.
Paths, because yeah, I do also confide in people, and I think I also like having somebody there just to listen to me rant or just to know that I'm not alone. And so I think it's nice just to have somebody there at times just to see like your raw emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess I do a little bit of both.
And you, wouldn't you say that time together is one of your love languages too? So even if we're not talking, and it's just nice to be
like
together.
Grace and I both have like time together as our love languages. So like we'll
like stay
everyone
up.
Else. Everyone else will go to bed at like 10 or 10:30,
and we'll watch TV. Or we'll eat pie.
Yeah, we'll just... Hey, Grace, I bought pie coming home after hanging out with friends. And would you like some? Well, sure.
Yeah.
And then we'll watch something late at night or...
Yeah.
We kind of like that. We're into The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
Or just literally just on our phones. Like, not even talking to each other. Yeah. But
just being
sitting in the same room on our phones.
You can get close to somebody, not always through talking, but just being together and doing things that you like. And like sharing same interests.
Yeah.
Like what you said earlier.
And same flavors of pie.
Yeah, exactly.
Lemon meringue, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, or French silk.
Yeah.
I don't know. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but, yeah. And I've also seen you guys implement, you know, exercise.
I think that getting your mind and body involved mm-hmm. at the same time has been huge in my mm-hmm. own life of like going for a walk where I have mm-hmm. to engage my body, but my mind is also engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just like sitting on the couch or something. But yeah, getting my mind and body involved at the same time has mm-hmm. been.
Maybe playing guitar for you too, Grace.
Yeah. Well, I also think working out is huge and just being involved in a lot of sports, because when I get angry, I
angry.
I get hostile. Then I think working out is a really good way to get it out.
It is.
Instead of taking it out on words on people.
Yeah.
I agree.
New hobbies too, that's always good.
Mm-hmm.
When I picked up knitting my freshman year of college.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, no, those are really good, practical, helpful things. It does give a good picture of how you guys are different and how, you know, there are so many unique ways to fight for joy in our daily lives. Well, as you guys have continued to progress in your grief and healing, and just you've grown in your maturity and faith over the years too, some of your peers have come to you and look to you for help and encouragement as they have then experienced something hard. Sometimes it feels like nobody can really relate to what we've gone through in the depths of pain and loss that we have experienced as a family. But the truth is there is pain and hurt all around us. I mean, the Blick family does not have a corner on the market in grief. It's all around us when we look hard enough at the people around us. So one of the things that I say often, both in life and on this podcast too, is that we live in a broken world because hard things will happen to pretty much everybody. And we will all at some point lose joy and struggle to keep persevering. So what would you guys say, or even what do you say, to somebody who is really struggling and comes to you?
I guess the first thing I do is just listen to them, because I know that sometimes it's hard to come up with the right thing to say. And just say, like, oh, I hear you, and you are known, and you are loved, and reading scripture together is mm-hmm. always helpful, and praying together or just praying for them right there in the moment. And just being open to whatever hurt they have, to not feel like you are taking over the spotlight and relating to them too much and say, oh yeah, that happened to me too, let me tell you about my story. And mm-hmm. But there is a time and place for that. I'm not saying that there isn't, but to just at first just be that listening ear and then point out the promises mm-hmm. and to say, that this is hard and this sucks and I'll stand by you and I'll listen to you and I'll continue to walk through this mm-hmm. with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say a similar thing to for me, because in my experience going through grief and everything, although I like to process things on my own, when people do come and try to help, it's really helpful if they just say something. You know, it's not like there's like a perfect thing to say that's gonna, oh, like everything's better now, thank you for saying the perfect thing.
Right, there is no, it's perfect, like, thing.
Nobody has to feel pressured to do that, because there's not really anything perfect anybody can say. So like just saying something is so helpful. And so like when people walk through grief and I'm trying to help or they're asking me for help, I found that it's kind of the same for me, where it's just say something. Like yeah. It doesn't have to be perfect, and just know, like, yeah, I'm here, and yeah, I'm here to help, and you can kind of sympathize, but don't make it about you, and mm-hmm. just yeah. be there to help, and just, yeah, make them feel, like, just make it known that you're going to help.
Yeah, I love that, Turner, because, that is one of the things that people ask me, is just, like, has anybody ever said things that have hurt you, or, like, do people say the wrong things in grief? And I agree with you, Turner, I always say, no, but I can think of times when people didn't say anything, or they didn't acknowledge it, or whatever, and that is usually more hurtful. It is better to just fumble around and try mm-hmm. to say something and do something, and like you said, Justine, acknowledge the pain and sit with them in the pain.
Yeah, and I think that going from that, then, to be in a relationship with somebody who isn't trying to then check off a box down the road of say, okay, well, I checked in with them here and I'm going to check in with them
again.
You
feel like a ministry instead.
Yeah, you don't. And so falling into an organic relationship where it just comes and flows in your conversation naturally, not feeling like, okay, they really appreciate when I say something, so I'm going to make every Tuesday the day that I right. connect. Then it's like, okay, like it's just not genuine. And so just like being open and forming alongside them through the grief is how you kind of continue that.
Yeah.
I think what I do is I really like trying to fix problems, and I like to try and solve things on mm-hmm. my own. Mm-hmm. And so I think when people come to me, I'm quick to help give them ideas of what they can do mm-hmm. and what they can try. And I'm also quick to investigate on their problems and get to a deeper level and figure out where this is stemming from and be like, well, why are you feeling this way? What is making you think that? And then I try and go from there and help them.
Yeah.
Just have tools to know what to do when they encounter problems like that, because I've been through a lot and I can relate to a lot of it, mm-hmm. but I don't always like sympathizing, because I don't know, part of my personality is I don't like showing my emotions. Mm-hmm. So I think what me sympathizing looks like me saying, I've been there, this is what I've done, maybe it'll help you too.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. No, these are great, super helpful things. Thanks, you guys. And one thing that I do, I continually pray for you guys, is that all of these struggles and disappointments and hurts and trials make you better, that they make you more beautiful, not bitter, not hard, not closed off, but compassionate and brave and kind and forgiving and grace-filled people. And you guys, I do see these things in you, and I'm so, so grateful to the Lord. And it's taken effort on your part. I mean, you've done the hard work. You've done the counseling. You've done the praying. You've done the processing and the talking and the crying and all the things that that it takes to keep moving forward in grief and get tastes of healing. You have had to fight for joy, and you guys are finding joy. And as your mom, it's a blessing to see. And as you reflect on all that God has taken you through in your lives so far, maybe you could share just something you've learned, or even to say it another way, how have you changed through hard things in life? How have you changed for the better specifically?
I think the main thing for me is I've appreciated my family a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Going through grief, a lot of my friend groups have been like coming and going, and at times it's been hard to like maintain friendships, depending on how hard the grief is. Like, that's just my personality. But like friends have always like come and gone, but family has always stayed with me. It's like, I think the biggest takeaway and the thing I'm like, for which I'm most thankful, looking back through grief, is that like my family is like great. And like, mm-hmm. they've been really great for me, and speaking with them has been really helpful.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good question. I think I really struggle with opening up to people because I am afraid of something happening again, mm-hmm. or I'm afraid of having like deja vus. And right. So I think how I've changed is I have been open to people, and like, if they let me down, so what? Because God put them in my life for a reason, and mm-hmm. so I think I just have to embrace that, and I have to give it the best shot I can, because who knows, it could be a great friendship. Mm-hmm. And so I think blocking it off from the start and not even giving it a shot is just unfair to both of you. I think also what I struggled with was bitterness, and I think not letting myself forgive was really hard for a while. But I think learning to forgive is extremely, extremely important, because in the Bible it says love your God before all else, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't love your neighbor, you can't love God, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. God is love. And I think having forgiveness quickly is extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen you really grow in that grace. It's been beautiful.
Yeah, I think that I've changed a lot over grief, because I've come to understand myself more and the different ways that my brain works, and I think with that comes a big understanding of God's grace for me, and that there isn't anything that I can do to better earn his favor, to better earn his love, or I mean, he chose me and he knows my name, mm-hmm. and through just putting promises into my heart daily, I have changed into just full reliance on Christ and dependence upon him, even though sometimes I don't know how to do that or I don't want to do that. Just having that giddy time in the morning to read God's word over a cup of coffee and to know these promises the first thing that I wake up, has definitely changed the ways that I perceive the world, interact with the world, and because of that, then I know how, I guess, sin
is so evident in my life and how much more I need God's grace and forgiveness, and that, people are going to fail me. I'm going to fail myself, and knowing more of myself has definitely changed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff, you guys. I definitely see all of these things in you and so much more, and you really are a light in this dark world through what you have learned and the ways that you have run to the Lord in the midst of it, and have fought bitterness, have fought despondency, have fought some of the true enemies to our faith and our joy, and you have really embraced and leaned into the things that are helpful tools in this fight for joy. Well, we're about ready to wrap up here. Is there anything else that you guys want to say to encourage my listeners in their own fight for joy?
I feel like we should leave this on a high note.
Okay, what do you want to say?
Funny, guys.
Oh, Grace.
Okay, is there something funny or a question?
Well, I don't know. Just like go around saying something.
What?
I don't know, guys.
We're gonna have to repeat this.
No,
question.
I don't think we have to have it on a high note. Okay,
we do.
Redo this last question.
Yeah,
do you like that question, or should I do?
Yeah, no, we need to. Like,
one last thing that people want to know.
Like, you know how Amy Downs leaves it? Like, what?
Oh,
what?
Yeah, okay.
Like, what's we need something okay. funny.
So, do you want, how about if
not
I say.
Not necessarily funny, but like, oh, that's good.
How about sometimes I ask my guests, like, what's something that you're really loving right now? It can be something like a particular song, a game, a.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay, well, we're about ready to wrap up here. And so one of the fun things that I asked my guests in season one, as I was ending the conversations with them, was what is something that you are really enjoying right now, or what are you loving right now? And so think of one or two things that are really bringing just a simple joy into your life, something that makes you laugh, something that you enjoy doing with your friends. It can be something simple, or it can be something more intricate. But what's something that you're loving right now?
I'm really loving music in general. So listening to music, playing music, writing music. I think all of that is just really fun for me right now. I'm also loving spontaneous outings. And I love when people ask if they're just like, hey, do you want to go get ice cream, or do you want to make a coffee run? I just like spur of the moment things. Mm-hmm. I'm really loving that.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
I would say for me, it's definitely Clash of Clans.
Mm-hmm.
With quarantine and everything, that's the one thing that I can like still do with all my friends. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm fortunate enough to be the leader of my clan. It's 40-some guys and a few girls wow. as well.
Yeah, nice.
And we unfortunately just lost our 6-war win streak, but it's all good.
Ouch.
And it's just been a lot of fun to connect with all different, like, we have so many different kinds of people in the clan. And of all age groups. And, yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. It's been something really simple to do every day. And, yeah.
That's good.
Well, I love my Nespresso maker. It's so bougie.
Same. Yeah.
But
bougie. Bougie.
I cannot go a day without having a Nespresso.
That's
it's so
bougie.
Embarrassing, but I love it. I absolutely love it. And I also, I've been loving writing more. Mm-hmm. I think that writing has always been a part of my life, but being able to write for my professors or for my peers has been so much fun for me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Those are good things. Well, this has been such a special conversation, you guys. Thank you for doing this with me. As we close, is there anything else that you would like to leave with my listeners to just encourage them in their own fight for joy?
Yeah, I think that this might sound weird, but I think that it's encouraging for me to hear sometimes from other people that it's still going to be really hard. Mm-hmm. And sin is mm-hmm. really going to take over, and sin is going to become attractive. And mm-hmm. just taking comfort in knowing that that's normal, and that that is a part of this broken world that is going to be this rhythm that you're going to have to fight daily. But then being able to cling to the promises of God mm-hmm. amidst that is mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the hope that you cling to.
Yeah, that's something we've really talked a lot about and learned from, too, is just the expectations, just knowing there are going to be hard things in this life and in this world, so that when the hard things come, we aren't surprised and we aren't grieving because we're grieving and we're not sad because we're sad. We are expecting these hard things, not in a negative, glass half empty kind of way, but in a prepared way and in a way that we have tools to help us when these hard things do come.
I think just knowing that grief will look different for everyone and that it will come at different times for everyone. And I also think that it's important to remember that people will fail us, but God never will.
Awesome.
Yeah, and going off of both of them said, I think that it's really important to keep in mind like how you grieve and how your friends grieve, people close to you grieve, and just keep in mind how they might try to help people grieve. So like you have to be conscious of, like, take me for example. Like I like to process alone, but I know like some people in my family, like some of my friends, really like to go out and help people, and like they really like to listen to people. So they might try to come up to me. I know it's not very like helpful to me. So I think it's just really helpful for everyone to know how you grieve and just to keep that in mind as grief comes, and it will, because this world is sinful. I mean, like full of sin, and there will be a lot of hardship. And so it's just really helpful to keep all that in mind.
Yeah, and we've all had friends that have learned to ask what's helpful. And I think that if you don't know how to help somebody in their struggle when they are lacking joy and really in the midst of a difficult time, they may not know, but you can still continue to ask them, is this helpful? Is this not helpful? Would it be better if I did this or did that or said this or said that? I mean, just asking questions, really being a student of them in the midst of their struggles and being willing to be a faithful friend who will continue to be there for the long haul. That's good, Turner.
Yeah, and I mean, your family's not going anywhere, so hold tight to them and laugh with them and wrestle them, thumb wars with them. Leg wrestle.
We are a physical family.
Your family is not going anywhere.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that this conversation will really bless and encourage people as they do get kind of a firsthand look into how we have clung to one another and fought for joy as a family. Well, thank you guys. This was fun.
I think also that I struggled with.
Let me go first.
No.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you were helped or encouraged by this episode, please share it with others. I would also love for you to find me on social media. You can connect with me and others who are listening on my Fighting for Joy podcast page on either Facebook or Instagram. You can also send me an email at fightingforjoypodcast@gmail.com. Podcasts have been such a lifeline for me in grief and one of the top ways that my soul is recharged and encouraged on a weekly basis. I truly hope that this podcast will do the same for you. Keep fighting for joy.